This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer in for JP all week alongside Brian Mitchell. It's time for us to get back out to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Welcome in our guest Joe Doyle. Works on the MLB Draft, hosts the Over the Slot podcast, or Overslot podcast. Does a great job covering Major League Baseball ahead of the draft. Joe, what's going on, man? How you doing?
What's up, guys? Good to be on.
Thank you, man.
So, what do you think of, well, first of all, let's talk about the big news here in D.C. It's just a week out from the MLB draft last Sunday. They move on from Mike Rizzo and Davey Martinez. What were your overall thoughts on those decisions?
Yeah, you know, it sounds to me like it was a tandem move. It sounds like Davey Martinez was the one that kind of, there was a decision that had to be made, and Rizzo was against that decision, and you know, they just decided to pair the two together and start fresh. From an MLB draft perspective, couldn't have come at a worse time. And just in terms of the process, just in terms of the ramp up, you know, Mike DiBartolo, who's taking over as the interim general manager, has all these different roles and responsibilities of hiring a new manager, hiring a new bench coach, hiring a new staff. You know, he's in charge of promotions and demotions on the minor league side of things and just getting ramped up into that new role. Expecting him to be up at full speed and ready to rock and roll on Sunday for the number one overall pick in the draft, it's a tall ask. It's a tall ask for any general manager. So from that perspective, certainly timing could be worse, but when a change is needed, sometimes you can't wait.
Well, the fact that the narrative has been, well, they kept the director of scouting around, does that make that much of a difference?
No, I think that's what's going to stabilize this entire thing. You know, Danny Haas and Brad Selick do a really good job, and they come from two organizations in the Diamondbacks and the Orioles that have had a ton of success in scouting and player development. And, you know, they're in the throes of this thing all year for 12 months. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to present all of this information to DiBartolo, you know, sight unseen. My understanding is they hadn't been working with him very much. It was more of a Mike Rizzo type of a deal. So I think from an organization and process standpoint, the Nationals are going to be just fine. But at the end of the day, it is Mike DiBartolo's pick to make. And if I was Mike, I would, you know, default to Brad and Danny to trust those two and have them make the pick.
I want to get your thoughts on this year's draft here in just a second, but sticking with questions about this front office, maybe it definitely works hand in hand with drafting and development. But when you look back at what the Nationals have done in the draft over the last couple of years, it feels like they've done a little bit better. But how much of the issue with the system getting to the point where it was drafting versus development? Were they drafting the wrong guys and then not able to develop them? Or were they drafting players that you had high hopes for, but then also weren't able to develop them?
You know, I think it falls on everyone's lap, and I know that's a bit of a hedge, but there were picks like Seth Romero that was a red flag. There were picks like Elijah Green that was a red flag. But at the end of the day, once that player is in the organization, it falls on player development to try and extract the most value out of that player and put them in the best position to succeed. So, you know, on one hand, yeah, were Mike Rizzo's draft picks always the best? I think there's probably an argument to the contrary. But at the other side of it, did player development always do right to get these players in the best position to succeed? I think there's a real question there. But at the end of the day, and I'm a Mike Rizzo fan. You know, he's a scout by heart. He's been through, you know, the trenches of battle and everything as it pertains to player evaluation and scouting. Unfortunately for Mike, the issue is the scouting department falls at his feet and the player development department falls at his feet. And mm-hmm. Everything, he oversees it all. So he really doesn't have any plausible deniability, whether it's player development or scouting.
Talking with Joe Doyle, host of the Overslot podcast, covers MLB draft. You can follow him on Twitter at Joe Doyle MILB. So let's get into Sunday's MLB draft. Nationals hold the first overall pick. Where would you lean right now if you were in charge of making this selection?
Yeah, I think if I was a betting man, I would probably say Cade Anderson. And there's a couple of reasons why. One, he was already the presumptive guy, him alongside Ethan Holliday. They're the top two, you know, odds on favorites for that number one pick. But I also look at it like this. Now that, you know, Mike Rizzo has been relieved of his duties, you know, Rizzo is the one that hired Danny Haas and Brad Selick into their scouting roles. And, you know, I just don't know if, you know, as we enter the 2026 season, if a new general manager is hired and it's not Mike DiBartolo, that person might be looking for scouts that are yielding immediate results. And I think if you take a player like Ethan Holliday with the number one pick in the draft, and he comes out over the course of the, you know, 4 or 5 weeks that he's playing minor league baseball, and he doesn't look great, I think it kind of lends to the narrative of we're still not doing a good enough job in scouting. So because of that, I think the organization will lean a little bit safer. I think they will go the college route, but you know, as of you know, 2 nights ago, there was still 5 or 6 players that were in consideration for that number one pick. So my vote would be Cade Anderson. I think he's the best blend of floor and ceiling, and I think he could pitch in Double A right now and be a successful lefty.
Well, they need some pitching. You know, they
do.
Yeah, they. They don't have all the starters, and the bullpen is not very good. So they need to start going that direction.
Yeah, and, you know, the other part of it is I don't think they have a ton of pitching on the horizon. Like, you look at what Travis Sikora is doing at AA, and, you know, that's a fantastic story, but he's still pretty young. And Harleen Susana has been good. He's certainly taken a step forward as a starting pitching candidate, but there are still scouts in the industry that believe Harleen Susana is going to be a reliever. So if you look at this farm system and you say, we really only have one, you know, mid rotation to top end rotation type starter on the horizon in Travis Sikora, and you look at the current, you know, starting rotation, you're right. This team needs more options in its rotation. And I think a quick to the majors lefty like Cade Anderson, who isn't too terribly dissimilar from a guy like Mackenzie Gore, who they've developed very, very well. They've put that final coat of paint on Mackenzie Gore in D.C., I think you could do worse than selecting a player like that.
Mm-hmm. Is it pretty much down to Anderson or Holliday? Do you think there's any chance they go anywhere else?
No, I really do think they could go in a different direction. Here's why. I think the strength of this draft is its high school shortstops, and there's going to be very talented high school shortstops up and down the second and third round. And you look at what they did last year by drafting Seaver King, cutting a deal, going and getting Luke Dickerson and just trying to extract the most talent that they can from a draft. I think that could be the case this year. I mean, I've talked about it on my podcast. The relationship between Mike Rizzo and Scott Boras was steadfast. It was very strong. With that relationship out the door, and Scott Boras representing Cade Anderson and Ethan Holiday, I wouldn't rule out a guy like Eli Willits with the number one pick or a guy like Jamie Arnold with the number one pick if that player affords you the opportunity to go land another one or two first round quality type players with your next two picks. So I still think that when you're picking number one, you don't get too creative and you just take the best player as you evaluate them on your board. And I think most people believe Cade Anderson is the best college pitcher, the best overall player in this draft. So I still think Cade Anderson is the pick, but when Mike Rizzo was let go, I certainly think the odds of another player being the pick elevated.
So my thing is, I don't disagree with you that they could consider that because they kind of did that a little bit last year with going with Seaver King. So then they could go get a guy in Luke Dickerson a little bit later on. But now you're looking at it saying, man, Cam Smith, who was picked a little bit later, and some of the other guys afterwards maybe could have been the pick in the first round. And Luke Dickerson has showed some flashes at Fredericksburg, but there have been, you know, kind of ups and downs with him. I just feel like for me, the philosophy here has to be best player available. And you seem to think that's Anderson. I lean Holiday, personally. Can you give me the reason why you would not take Holiday versus versus Anderson? Because to me, I still would lean Holiday over Anderson.
Yeah, it's a good question. I've talked about this quite a bit. The thing with Holiday is there. Let me start with the positives. There are things you can't teach, right? It's 6'4". It's immaculate bloodlines. It's left-handed. It's huge bat speed. It's raw power. It's, you know, a chance to play third base. But at the other side of it, there was a lot, and I mean a lot, of swing and miss with Ethan Holiday across the summer of 2024 playing against high-level competition. I mean, it was a 52% whiff rate when he saw fastballs north of 91 miles an hour. There was questions on whether or not he was going to be able to catch up to, you know, elite advanced pitching. And this spring, Ethan did not participate in many of the preseason tournaments or preseason showcases. We couldn't see the adjustments that Ethan Holiday made from last summer. And, you know, of course he goes and plays for Stillwater High School and hits 19 homers and hits 615 or something like that.
Yeah.
But that's against guys throwing, you know, 79 to 82, and you expect him to go do that. So unless you have total and complete conviction that Ethan Holiday is going to be able to adjust and is going to be able to hit. And for the record, I think he is. I mean, you look at his dad, you look at his brother, it's a baseball family, he'll figure it out. But unless you have that complete conviction that he's going to be able to grow and mature and the bat is going to come along, I just think the floor is low enough there that, you know, you might want to take a college pitcher who you know is going to be a productive big leaguer.
Mm. What do you think Anderson's ceiling is? Like, if he hits everything, he hits all his marks, and he turns out to be the player that we all think that he could be. Like, what's a player comp? How good is Cade Anderson? So people have an understanding of what, you know, you're kind of weighing here.
Yeah, he's good. And I think the floor here is a number four starter. I don't think there's any chance that he's not going to be a very productive big leaguer. I think the ceiling for him is something like a low number two. You know, I had someone in my inbox about a week ago say, how much different is this kid from a guy like Gio Gonzalez? And I was like, man, that's pretty apt. Like, I think that's the type of value that you might be able to get from Cade Anderson over the entire course of his career. Gio Gonzalez was a 30 F-war player. Another player that I've heard kind of comped to Cade Anderson is John Lester, who had a very strong, long career, pitchability lefty, up to 95, 96, kind of a medium frame, but four pitches, knows how to pitch, knows how to throw all of his pitches for strikes, doesn't overpower hitters, but just a very, very well-rounded, polished lefty. So I think that's kind of what you're looking at. I don't see, personally, an ace in Cade Anderson. I don't know if there's a route to him just, you know, dominating and bullying the competition, like, you know, for example, Paul Skeens has done coming out of LSU. But I do think Cade Anderson, if it all comes together and he stays healthy, has a chance to go to a few All-Star games and, you know, be a number two starter for a contending team.
Like, you look at some of the young talent on the Nats right now, do you believe they have the support to support a guy like a James Wood, and you have my man Mackenzie Gore? You know, do they have enough support around those guys right now, or they have to get a lot more talent?
I think on paper they do. It hasn't come together, but, you know, C.J. Abrams has had a very good year with the bat. I think you're going to see more results from Dylan Cruz as soon as he's healthy. He's just the baseball card is too long, too decorated, too established for me to think that he is going to struggle like he has this year. I think Brady House is going to be a contributor when he arrives and kind of gets more permanent footing. You know, Jacob Young has not had the year that I think a lot of people expected he would have. So they do have enough young pieces. I don't think the Nationals are in a real competitive window. I don't think it's all going to gel until probably June of 2026. I think they're probably a year from, you know, having the culture set up in D.C. necessary to put together a contender. And I'll add one more thing, and this is going to be in Mike Rizzo's defense. You know, you give the guy an organization with star-level talent, and you give him a healthy payroll, and then all of a sudden in 2024 and 2025, it's a bottom five payroll, and you expect him to have the same amount of success that he's had with an extremely young core. Mm. I don't think it was a really fair ask from an ownership perspective, but to answer your question a little bit more succinctly, I think there's a lot of pieces there that are going to be able to lend the next competitive window, but for Washington to take that next step in that division, they're going to have to be afforded the ability to spend a little bit of money.
All right.
Well, Joe, appreciate you hopping on with us. You have great insight on the MLB draft. Make sure you go check him out at Joe Doyle, MILB on Twitter. You can check out his podcast at Overslot Baseball. Joe, appreciate the time
today. Appreciate you, Joe.
All right, guys. Be good. We'll talk to you.
That's Joe Doyle. This draft is huge for the Nats. B. Mitch, I mean,
understatement.
It's funny because you look where the Nats are, and people are talking about the farm system. I don't know that we're going to get into Ken Rosenthal's comments about looking at trading Gore today, but
yeah, when I saw it, that's what I saw.
Stupid,
I read it earlier.
Stupid, by the
but
way.
But it was like if they were to, you know, it was more about the ifs, and if they were to make that move, then they were saying a lot of stuff. And if they were to make a move like that, then you don't understand why Rizzo's gone.
Yeah,
I agree with Joe. You told him to go do what you did before, but we're not letting you use the money you used before.
100%. Yeah. And I want to hear from Rizzo here in just a couple of minutes. He was on with the Junks a little bit earlier today. I just think that is dumb, and you look at where the organization is in terms of the farm system. Well, you're missing a key aspect in the fact that they're about to draft a guy number one overall who's going to step in and be a top 100 prospect for this ball club. So I think that this team, we'll see what direction it ends up going. DeBartolo, he's going to be able to leave his mark on the organization with the trade deadline coming up and MLB draft coming up on Sunday. The Nationals hold the number one overall pick. Let's take a break when we come back. Mike Rizzo, the former, still weird to say, but the former president of baseball operations, general manager of the Nationals, joined the Junkies. We'll hear a little bit from Mike Rizzo coming up next. You're on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. and it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer sitting in for JP this week. Appreciate Joe Doyle for joining us talking about the MLB draft. We thought that it would be Mike Rizzo making the pick, but that all changed on Sunday when both him and Davey Martinez. It's going to be DeBartolo, I think.
Well, as he stated, the other two guys have been there every step of the way. You might want to lean on them a little more.
And they're definitely going to lean on those guys. I think most of the work has been done. They've got their board probably mostly put together, and I don't know that you're going to see DeBartolo. I mean, there's no real way to know. I thought Jason Bishop did a fantastic job earlier today on the Junkies. He just goes, hey, Mike Rizzo, you're not making the pick anymore. Who would you take? And Rizzo's like, I'm not going to answer that. But at least trying to get that out. But DeBartolo is going to be in charge of that. But Mike Rizzo was on with the Junkies, as I just mentioned earlier today. I thought he was – did you listen to this at all? Did you get a chance to hear it? I thought he was very diplomatic in the way that he answered most of the questions.
And we talked about that yesterday.
And you would think
– it's what you expect.
Yeah, you would think that that's going to be the case. But I want to play the first cut here.
You don't go out launching grenades.
I want to play the first cut here. I believe it's the one that you had earlier, Landfill, cut number 5. And he was talking about – if they were going to, Landfill. This one is about, JP had asked him, what was this one about, Landfill? Sorry. I forget. I had two queued up. Yeah. So he was basically asked, did you have the resources necessary? JP did a really good job with this question. This is kind of what JP asked him, like, do you have what's necessary to get things done? And this is what Rizzo had to say.
And the secret of being a good executive and a good general manager is you do the best you can for what you have. And we've all gone through this, whether you're in baseball or in life in general. You do the best with what you have, and we didn't in ownership's eyes, we didn't do enough with it, and so they made a change.
In other words, he just stated, I didn't have enough.
That's what I read. That's what I heard.
Only people that state you do the best you can with what you have are those that don't have enough to do what they're supposed
to be able
to do. And listen, I don't expect him to say anything differently. But hell, we can speak. You listen to him. We've listened to them. We see how they spin. They didn't give him enough to do everything he needed to do. You know, but just like it's a combination of things. When I look at people getting these raises or these promotions, you get a title, but you don't get extra money. And I tell people, don't take that title. Because the same thing you did wrong yesterday, you get fired for when you get that new title. So when they told him, every time he stated, I got all the resources, well, they expect to see the results then.
Yeah.
And you got to be careful of how you set yourself up. You know, him being a stand-up guy, not throwing them under the bus, came back to haunt it.
Yeah, and I think at the end of
his connection with his guy.
At the end of the interview, Bish asked him if he wanted to be a GM again. Would he take a role? Does he see that happening again next season? And he said, yeah, I'd be privileged to. I think that's why you hear the answer like you just did, B-Mitch.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's diplomatic. Yeah. If Mike Rizzo were, you know, hanging it up and he was finished, you might hear the real answer,
you
which
might
was
hear something
no.
Else.
I did not have the resources necessary, but I think that's kind of what you, when you hear, read between the lines on that, saying, hey, did you have enough resources to work with? He's like, well, the key to being a good GM is making it work with what you have. Well, that means you didn't have enough.
No, I didn't have what
so,
I needed.
So I think that was telling in one sense. Another one that I really liked was EB was asking him about, with the Nationals where they're at, is there going to be a moment where ownership spends again, or do we have to accept this team is going to turn into the Pittsburgh Pirates where they're not spending? This is what Rizzo had to say about if ownership, if the time is right, if they'll spend again.
To answer your question, I hope they do. To me, it's a smart business move to do, because when it's time to go, you should go.
All right. How about this,
that
Mike?
That doesn't mean to pour in, hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars on the free agent market alone, but make trades, take on contracts, do a Gio Gonzalez trade and extend them for a long term and that type of thing. So there's ways to do this the right way for extended success. And I think that there's a blueprint on how to do it already written in the files in Nationals Park.
Yeah. In other words, we won a World Series in 2019. That's how you do it.
I love the subtle flex in there at the end saying, it's already been done over there, by the way. We know how to do it.
Yeah, but I did it.
I think Rizzo was incredibly diplomatic for pretty much the entire interview, but he let his hair down a little bit with those two answers in specific. And not that he said anything explicitly, but you could pick it up. Mm-hmm. But the first answer saying, look, I wasn't given the necessary resources. And I think you heard in that answer, I thought the time was now. We're not spending, but I thought the time was now. This is the time to invest. And mm-hmm. I think he's telling you in there, I wasn't asking for you to go sign Juan Soto and $765 million. He might not have even been asking to go sign a guy like Max Fried, who I would have really liked to get.
Mm-hmm.
But they couldn't even get a Christian Walker. They couldn't get a guy that was getting $20 million a year. They spent $50 million total in the offseason. They need to bring in a bunch of guys. Like, you couldn't give me a little bit more to work with? Like,
hey, man.
Look, man, I understand that
you have to consistently do the things necessary to be able to stay where you want to stay. You can't do it 1 year and then say, now we're not going to do it anymore.
Yeah.
You won't get back to where you were.
And look, I'm not going to be a massive Rizzo defender, because I think part of the reason that they got to where they are as a franchise right now is the inability of Rizzo and his development staff, his front office, to be able to draft guys and then develop them into big leaguers, because there was no one to step in when Rendon left. There was no one to step in when Trey Turner left. There was no one to step in when Juan Soto was gone. So that's a lot that falls on Mike Rizzo. So you're not going to hear me fully defending Rizzo. But in terms of this, absolutely, that's not on Rizzo. Look, did he make the wrong decision in signing Colin Poche and signing Lucas Sims and signing Jorge Lopez? If you asked Mike, I bet you he'd tell you, absolutely, I made the wrong decision, because they're not on the ball club anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But did he have the resources necessary to build a winning bullpen? No, he did not.
No.
Do you think that be real, Nationals fans that just want to blame everything on Rizzo, because I don't know that there's tons of these people. I think most people understand where this is at, but some people are just so over Rizzo. But be real. Do you think that in this offseason, when Mike Rizzo for years and years has been talking about kind of this time frame, I think when you first asked him about this rebuild, he was thinking it was going to start seeing the fruition of it come through last year. It didn't. Mm-hmm. So then he had to push the timeline back. But do you really think that in the time this season, when James Wood is in the bigs, Dylan Cruz is in the bigs, CJ, McKenzie, those guys are all here, you had Brady House knocking on the door, you had all these guys ready to go in terms of the young stars of this team, do you really think that what he wanted to do this offseason was spend $9 million on Mike Soroka and trade for Nathaniel Lowe, and that's his two biggest moves?
Mm-hmm.
There's no chance.
Nope.
And so that's on ownership.
He thought he had the backing.
That's on ownership. And so that's where that answer to me comes in, and I think it's really interesting that he's like, you have to invest. You hope that this would have been the time. And so I think Mike Rizzo did a really good job of making sure that he set himself up for a future job, wherever that may be, because he didn't throw anyone under the bus today. He didn't do anything crazy. There was nothing incendiary. There was nothing that Mike Maher could grab and throw on Twitter or on YouTube that was going to go extra viral today about Mike Rizzo just trashing the learners. There was none of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you read between the lines on specifically those two answers, I think you get a big insight into how this organization has been operating.
People that expect you to just go out there and just start throwing haymakers, they've never been in no situation like that.
Well,
you know, you when you are leaving one in this profession, you got to worry about the next.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's going to be hard for somebody to just go out and say, oh, everybody sucked. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and I think it's funny because we had some callers over the last couple of days saying, well, I wish Mike would have just said, you know, the learners aren't giving me what. Next time you have an issue with your boss, go on your Twitter, how bad they are, and just see what happens.
Go in the middle of the conference room and tell everybody how much your boss sucks.
Yeah.
And see
and tell them every problem and all that. See how that goes, right? Just see how that goes. You can't do that. And so, look, I think it was a good interview with Rizzo and the Junkies. Make sure to check that out on the podcast if you didn't get a chance to listen to this morning. It was at 9 a.m. But he did a good job overall of kind of just playing diplomatically, playing a politician there. But I think those two answers really showed an insight into the fact that this organization wasn't giving him the resources necessary. And who knows if that's going to change anytime soon, even though DeBartolo takes over.
Did we need him to answer that?
No, we didn't.
To know that? We already knew they weren't.
No, but I think he did a good job of kind of like, here's a peek behind the curtain without opening up the whole, you know, just letting everyone know. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, there's a number. So you thought Cam Newton was a hater with the things that he was saying.
Oh, this other guy, we already know he's a hater.
This dude is the biggest hater of the Commanders that lives in the U.S. that he didn't even cheer for a team in the division, B. Mitch. I don't understand. Like, if he were an Eagles fan or he was a Cowboys fan, I'd understand it more. I don't get it. But Adam Rank is back to his usual stuff. We'll play what Adam Rank had to say next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Extra on the Fan. Tizer in for JP this week. Some people are just haters, B. Mitch. I don't know why. Some people
by nature, dog.
Love to hate. The number one hater for Washington right now.
He's been there for a while.
Is Adam Rank. And I don't think it's particularly close. I had to double check when we were sending this around. So he was on NFL Network. He does this thing for, I think, all 32 teams. He goes through, does a win-loss for the entire schedule, and ends up looking at, you know, what he thinks their record's going to be. 7-10 is the prediction he has for the 2025 Washington Commanders.
Okay.
7-10 I had to make sure it wasn't 2024. This is 2025. Yep. So if we go through this, he has them beating the Giants in week one, losing three straight to Green Bay, Vegas, and Atlanta.
Okay.
Then he has them beating the Chargers. I mean, this one's not a shocker. He has them losing to the Bears. He's a big Bears fan. He has them losing to the Cowboys, losing to the Chiefs. Then he has them beating the Seahawks, Lions, and then the Dolphins. Bye week, he has them beating the Broncos, and then finishing with 4 of 5 losses by losing to the Vikings, the Giants, beating the Eagles in their first matchup in week 16, and then finishing the year off with 2 straight losses. 7-10 is his prediction for the team.
Okay.
I don't...
You know what I think about that? Adam Rank knows he's not liked in this area.
Well, for sure. I mean,
and Adam Rank knows if he goes out and he says something as obnoxious as he just said, we're going to talk about it. And we're going to do exactly what he wants. Click, click.
I just can't stand it.
I just say everybody has opinions.
Doesn't make them right.
It's like everybody has something else. And I think Adam Rank is that something else.
Next time we bring him on the show, I'm going to bet him. And I, once we beat the Bears,
I just don't bring him on the show.
No, I mean, why not? It's content.
Why do I care about his opinion on anything?
Because we're facing the Bears. We got to call somebody.
We have content and we have.
There are plenty of Bears dudes. I got connections with Mitch Rosen. I can get you somebody from the score
man,
out there.
Hey man,
Big Brad B.
Hey man, I just want to bet this brother that we're going to beat the Bears and we're going to win more than 7 games. And I want push-ups on the TV.
Oh, I need more than push-ups.
I want push-ups saying I love the Commanders 20 times. I like when people talk, I like self-humiliation. So, yeah, you think we're going to win 7 games and lose to the Bears? Let's place a wager on it. If you lose, give me 20 push-ups on TV. I lose, I do my 20 push-ups on the stream.
It has been baffling to me watching, because this isn't just, I mean, he's been perpetually hating on this team for years, but we saw last year there was a lot of hate from specifically Chicago Bears fans for this team and Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
And I guess I can understand it a little bit. We don't care. We don't care one bit.
They are hurt.
Well, I can understand from their perspective because they're watching the quarterback that was drafted right behind theirs that is better, played a lot better, led their team to the NFC Championship. Meanwhile, theirs is, look, I like Caleb Williams, so I'm not going to trash him, but I'd rather have Jaden Daniels. So I can understand them looking over here, but I don't care. Say whatever you want as a Bears fan. They haven't had a quarterback throw for 4,000 yards ever, ever. They've won... I know they're a historic franchise, B. Mitch, but has there been a team that has lived off of one Super Bowl more than the Chicago Bears?
But, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
at first, yes.
I can care less.
Who?
the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah,
I just had to take a shot at them. Yeah. That's what fan base
less
I hate.
What Adam Rank said, yeah, so.
I just think like all we talk about with the Bears and all that, they won one Super Bowl, and look, that team was great. That team was awesome. And if we want to go back to pre-Super Bowl, I wasn't around for that, so I don't really care. That doesn't bother me. That doesn't interest me at all. Chicago, whatever. It doesn't make any sense why you would hate on this team. They're so likable, and Jaden is so likable. They're going to be better in 7 wins. There's no question about that. I think the question, you know, to make it a little more relevant to us here is, do you think that they're going to improve off of last year? Maybe not in terms of wins and losses, because I think that there's a real possibility, B. Mitch, that this team plays better football
and have less wins,
looks better, but has maybe 10, 11 wins versus the 12 that they had last year.
And I agree with you, but I don't think for 1 second that they're going to win just 7 games.
We were talking about this before the show. I think this is still important. Like, they need to make the playoffs this year.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying Super Bowl or bust, but they need to make the playoffs.
I'm not with the, you know, the quarterback gets better, but the team doesn't get better. No, if the quarterback gets better, the team better get better.
Yeah, because then it opens up a can of worms of, did the defense just suck, or what was going on around him that he got better, but the team wasn't necessarily better. But I think this year you have to make the playoffs. Like, that's the bare minimum expectation for this team. You know, whether it's 10 wins and a wild card. Now, here's what I think is interesting about this is, if we've learned anything about the NFC East over the last couple of decades, the team that won it last year ain't winning. So one of the other three is winning the division this year. It ain't going to be Philadelphia just because of the track record. Because we say this every year, by the way. You're like, oh, well, there's no way that Dallas doesn't win it this year. There's no way that Philly doesn't win it this year. And then they don't.
Mm-hmm.
Someone else pops up. Commanders are the leader in the clubhouse to take that crown. And I think there's a real shot that they could do it. I don't think Philly got better this offseason. Not to say that, you know, they won the Super Bowl. So it's not like they have to get better. But mm-hmm. And it's not like they got big time worse, but I think they got a little bit worse this offseason. I would think you would look at the Commanders and say that they got a little bit to a lot better this offseason. And I think a lot of that is going to ride on Jaden and seeing how he continues to perform and the steps that he takes this offseason. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. That'd be fun. If they can find a way to win the NFC East and take that crown wearing these jerseys.
Yep. And for sure they'll be here in 2016 for every time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what they can do, but I don't...
But you and I were looking at some video, and those jerseys pop up a lot.
They do pop up a lot.
On the road, at home, they don't just...
We're watching Brian Mitchell highlights, and there are plenty of them, and B. Mitch is always wearing the white jersey, making big plays.
Lots of times, dog.
Maybe we can get you out of retirement for one game to pop off one more. What do you think?
Negro. Well, I did again.
Sam Good.
Look, did again. They pay a lot.
We can get a little dirty 30 kick return. How about that? Coming up next, one guy that we've talked a little bit about. You talked about Terry McLaurin. He wasn't in the video or in the videos about the new jerseys. At what point do we have to get to a point where we talk about the Terry McLaurin contract with a little bit of concern? We'll talk about that next here on B. Mitch and Finley.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.